Good morning, Saints.
All right, Saints. No, Saints.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds, by His wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds, by His wounds we are healed. We are healed by Your sacrifice and the life that You gave. We are healed, for You paid the price. By Your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds, by His wounds we are healed. By His wounds, by His wounds. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. So nice to see you this morning. Thank you, Vicki. Wonderful message in that song. Something we need to be aware of at all times. So we're going to talk about the dead church today. The dead church at Sardis. Think there's any dead churches around? They're not dead in terms of people in them having eternal life, but they're dead as far as spiritual life and function. There's too many of them today. People are dying all around us. And the message of life that we hold in an alabaster box has to be broken so that the fragrant aroma of Christ can fill the room, can fill the world, as it did at one time and has ceased to do for many, many years. In a period that started probably in 1492 and went all the way up to 1776. Founding of the United States of America, then a resurgence in the era called Philadelphia, which is the church in America. And then after, following upon, the 60s, 1960s and 70s, somewhere around there, the era, an age of Laodicea, dawned. The lukewarm, dead church. The one that Jesus said, I'm about to spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. That's not good. When the Lord says that, that's not good. Something's not very good there. And it's not something that we'd want to hear. But anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. For those who came out to hear the Word of God, Father, may it impress us so deeply. May it challenge us to press on to the upward summons that you issued by Christ Jesus, may we have an urgency and a priority and be part of the solution rather than part of the problem in this era that we live in. We don't want to be like the dead church. We don't want to be like the church that got married to the world or the one that lost its first love or the one that is a system of religion without reality and liturgies without life and symbols without substance, but one that is alive by the life, the very life of Jesus Christ, coursing through our spiritual, our soul house, soul life, soul body. Do this, Lord, today in an increment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The mystery of the seven churches, the Church of Sardis, Sunday, October 11th, 2020, Revelation 3, 1-6. But to just get you in the mood for the message today, I wrote this. How wide is the ocean? Wider still, the love of Christ. How long is the span of time and how vast the eons? Longer still, the love of Christ. How high are the heavens? Higher still, the love of Christ. How deep are the canyons, the caverns, the trenches of earth? Deeper still, the love of Christ. Infinite, endless, and eternal, the dimensions of His boundless love. As far as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, so much farther, so much wider, so much larger, so much longer, much more grand and glorious than one can imagine, the love of Christ that surpasses human understanding. Paul says in Ephesians 3, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Turn to Revelation 3, if you're not there already. Verse 1. This is to the angelos, the messenger, the pastor teacher of a particular church, an era of church history called Sardis. Right? Another church in Asia Minor. A large congregation of believers in Asia Minor. He says, to the angel in the church in Sardis, write this. Write this down. Write these things, says he, who has the seven spirits of God. The church was dead, as we'll see in a moment. And those who remained would soon leave town to seek freedom in a new land. So we date this from about 1500 to 1776, the era of exploration and the exile of believers and the traveling of believers to the New World, to the Americas. 1492. It was Columbus who sailed the blue, and then after that, the era of exploration, and thousands moving from Europe to the New World, under persecution, and not willing to be part of the problem, but wanting to be part of the solution, would seek freedom in a new land. So, to the angel at Sardis, write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God. Who's that? It's Jesus that's speaking. He has the seven spirits of God. And, you okay? Okay. And, Here are the seven spirits of God. Jesus has, as his own essence and possession, the eyes and ears, the insight and foresight, heights and depths of understanding. Nothing escapes his notice. Nothing fools him. Nothing surprises him. Nothing suddenly dawns upon him. He knows everything that's noble. He's God, after all. He has the fullness of the Spirit, infinite wisdom, power, discernment, and understanding. The full listing is found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him who? The servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom, number one. Understanding, number two. Counsel, number three. Strength, number four. The Spirit of knowledge, number five. And the fear of the Lord, number six. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, counsel. I missed one there. The first one, the Spirit of the Lord. And that's seven altogether. The fear of the Lord is number seven. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make decision by what his ears hear. We should follow in his footsteps and do the same thing. But do we? Not often enough. Put it that way. So it goes on to say, and the seven stars he holds in his hand, the seven spirits of God, and possesses the seven spirits of God, holds in his hand the seven stars. Seven pastors are in his hand. They're called out and placed by him in these churches, in these eras of church history, in every real church, every genuine church, where one is called and others are called to belong and attend, under his control, doing as he says, carrying out his mandate to feed the flock. If you love me, feed my flock. Pastors are not called to do anything else. It is a full-time job. Oida, he says, I know. I know. I know everything that's noble. I see and know. I see clearly, hara'o, and know fully, oida. He knows everything that's knowable. He says, I know your works. I see what you do, and I know why you do it. I know your modus operandi and modus vivendi. What you do and why you do it. Where they come from, the works, and what they're made of. He knows all of that. Those made of gold, silver, and precious stones, which are good, acceptable, and perfect in his sight, and those that are made of wood, hay, and stubble, which are baseless, useless, worthless. Worthless deeds. Dead works, as they call them. And he says that you have a name, that you live. Zao. You have a name or a reputation or claim of spiritual life and reality or spiritual function. You have a name or a reputation that's true, that you live. Here, every church and every believer in every church is to be a living sacrifice, crucified with Christ, a living epistle, not written with pen and ink or etched on tablets of stone, but written by the finger of God in fleshly tables of the human heart. And each one is to be a living stone in the temple built by God for his indwelling by the Spirit. So he says, you have a name or reputation that you live. And he says, but you are dead. Necros. Dead. Whew. Here he's not referring to spiritual death, which was cured in a moment by faith in Christ, but he's talking about the deep sleep of carnal death, devoid of spiritual life function. And you have to carefully divide the word of truth, rightly divide the word of truth, because you would get the wrong idea. Here they're not dead, but, you know, they're just like those who have heard the word often, and the water or the rain that falls from heaven falling upon them and not bringing forth the vegetation which is good or useful, but only thorns and thistles. And they're nigh unto being cursed. They're not cursed, but they're nigh unto being cursed. And they'll be severe consequences, ramifications of negativity and carnality. The deep sleep of carnal death, devoid of spiritual life function. No spirit activation, no spirit filling, so there's no spirit activation or animation, enablement or enlightenment going on, present tense. No residence and circulation of the living and powerful word. No spiritual life animation, no circulation of the living and powerful word. In Ephesians 5:14, Paul calls out to the Ephesian church, all churches, because it was encyclical epistle. It says, for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk around. It's how you live each day. Not as stupid people, but as wise people, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So stop being stupid. That's what it says. Stop being foolish. Moros. Stop being foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is, that you present your body a living sacrifice, that you be that living epistle and that living stone that he made you to be at a great cost, a great expense. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is and stop getting drunk with wine. That can't apply to anybody around here. For that is dissipation, asotia. That's what unsaved people do. It's a waste of time and resources. But be filled all the time, all the way up, pleroma, with the Spirit instead. Oh, but I like my booze. Good for you. That'll take you far down. Take you down. I've never found that to enhance anybody's life. Have you? Whatever. You know my stance on it. About ruin me. It was by my own choice, of course. I know that. There's very little you can tell me about sin, because I've done most of it, even all of it, at some point in my life. And I found out that the consequences is not worth the effort and the experience. No thank you. But God puts pastors through all kinds of things so that they can be helpful to others and not be shocked by what people do. So, for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, Christ will shine on you. Be careful how you walk as unwise men, making the most of your time. You doing that? You got lots of time on your hands? You want to use it wisely. The days are evil that we live in. Have you figured that out too? I mean, do you see that? Do you understand that? So then, stop being stupid, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and stop getting drunk with wine. For that's dissipation, but be filled instead with the Holy Spirit. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Stay under, drive under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual rapport. A living church has spiritual rapport. Doctrinal rapport. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks. Very grateful, church. Make America grateful. Once again, Lord. Not great. Great will come later. Let's make America grateful. Giving thanks for all things. That should be the slogan of the political candidates. Make America grateful once again, Lord. And we'll look at great later. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Verse 2 says, Ginomai, become awake because you're asleep. Wake up. And he says, and sterizo, strengthen, make strong that which loipos, that which remains, that is the remnant. Keep the remnant moving forward. He says, which, even so, is about to Apothenesco, which is about to die off. He says, "For you see, I have not found your works, your deeds, complete." Here we're talking about he did not find them or does not find them to be genuine, to be generous, to be spontaneous, or to be spirit-led. He does not find them to contain faith, hope, and love, that they are not works of faith, labors of love, and steadfast hope. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, I've not found them to be complete in the sight, that's an opion, in the view of my God. It's fine in the sight of man. Just about anything looks okay in man's sight, if it's human good, but not in the sight of God. In other words, that's not how God sees it. You think it's good, God sees it as not being good at all. And it only matters what he says and what he sees. These could be very large and popular churches that offer a wide range of amenities. They're tastefully decorated, financially well off, etc. But like the Church of Laodicea, which we'll get to in a week or so, the Lord sees some serious deficiencies that need to be addressed, and as a result, adjustments that need to be made in order to be considered well, vital, vigorous, or alive, spiritually speaking. God's not impressed with the works of man. Those works, apart from him you can do nothing, are dead works. In Hebrews 9:14, without faith, all works are dead. Because faith without works, they're dead. And works without faith, they're dead. Dead branches, not abiding in the vine, carnally dead, without spiritual life, or any real function, any spiritual function at all. So that's how he analyzes and evaluates this era of church history. Many of these things are very relevant, pertinent to churches all over the world today and in our land today. Verse 3 says, remember therefore. You look back at the scriptures. Remember. Think back. Remember. Let the Holy Spirit recall to your memory the things that are real and right. Get back to them. Remember therefore what you received, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. What do? We walk in him with that same singularity and simplicity, focused upon Christ. Don't be deceived like Eve, who was hoodwinked by the devil and distracted by all the other things that were going on around, and missed the mark, and then was a negative influence, was part of the problem, part of it. And ever since, her progeny have been a big part of the problem. That is, her sisters and her children, her female children and her sisters, have become a big part of the problem, and so have men in the same way, because they are so insecure. Women are deceived, men are insecure. And they need the approval of women. And so what do? Fall apart in their presence. And do what they should know better to do, but they don't. They do it anyway. So he says here, if you've received, just as you received, keep, hold on to the things you've received. You've received Christ Jesus, so learn how to walk in him. Learn how to walk around in him. You start your day, live each day, end each day in fellowship with Jesus. You can't go wrong if you do that. If you don't, you're going to go very wrong. Things are going to go very wrong. Who resides and circulates throughout the many rooms of your soul house. He's supposed to. If he indwells us, intensively indwells us, then he should be living and residing and circulating through the many rooms of our soul house, where we're constantly bumping into him in a continuous interaction, engagement, and literally a cohabitation. He lives inside of us, don't you know? In the kitchen, where something good is cooking, in the dining room, where we enjoy delicious meals, in the office, or study, where we read, think, and plan, choosing what we will do in the family room, where we speak honestly and lovingly to those who live beside us and with us each day, in the bathroom or powder room, where we take care of private business and spiritual hygiene, in the bedroom, where we rest and are renewed, in the basement, where we store and tinker, and in the garage, where we come and go from home to other places, making sure that we take the Lord with us whenever and wherever we go, every day in every way, living in the reality of the indwelling, intensive indwelling of Jesus in your soul house. And he says, here he says, the things that you have received, therefore remember what you have received and heard, listen to, and tereo, keep it, guard it, as you would precious possessions, things of great value, keep it. And, of course, always be ready to repent. Always be ready to change your mind. Whenever the Word of God, the Lord, the Spirit of God catches you up short, be ready to change your mind. Turn on a dime, as they say, and go the other way. That is, whenever it's needed or necessary. So, keep it and repent. He says, if you do not wake up, Gregor Otto, if you don't wake up, he says, I will come as a thief. In other words, you're not going to know when I come. And that you may not know when I come, what hour I will come, he says, upon you. Be ready at all times, because you don't know when the Lord is coming. That is, when judgment will visit or discipline will visit. Therefore, the only way to be ready is to be watching and waiting all the time. And you can't be taken by surprise. Keep your eyes on the skies rather than on your fries. Not nearly as often, anyway. So here, the call to one and all is to be alert, awake, and aware. And that's why they're not living or experiencing spiritual life, or have no spiritual life function, because they're not awake or aware. They're carnally dead in the deep sleep of carnal death. Verse 4 says, yet you have a few names. Most of you are far gone, but there's a few names. A few individuals. Soma says a few names. Somata, plural. A few names. Few individuals. In Sardis, in this era, there were some of note. I told you what the time frame was, from approximately 1500, 1776. There were the reformers. In this era, there were some of note, like Tyndale, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Cranmer, Cromwell, Knox, Wycliffe, and many others, that many of whom were martyrs. And having rejected the tenets of Roman Catholicism and its hold on all of Europe, these and others were the founders of Protestant denominations who promoted personal learning and holy living by the Word and the Spirit. Most of them were translators of the Latin scriptures into English and were persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. The Church of England was the Roman Catholic Church, as was the Church in France and Germany, etc., and all the countries of Europe. So he says, there are few names in Sardis who have not soiled. We have maluno, to soil, to dirty, or to cause to be defiled. Soiled, then it says, their garments. We got emmation, is garments. Their everyday clothes, their everyday uniforms, the everyday uniforms of believers, of which there are three, one of which is to be worn at all times. You have the battle uniform, or battle fatigues of the warrior. You have the clean linen garments or robes of the priest, and the royal uniform, the expensive royal uniform of the ambassador. And he says, so you're going to be wearing one of those all the time. You don't want to soil those. And send them to the cleaners and get them cleaned and pressed, ready to go, so you can just slip into them anytime you need to. And they will walk with me, he says. This is good news. Those who overcome the era of this, or overcome the temptation of this era, and the trend of this era, will walk with me. This is literal and continual. They'll walk with him. Here, walking with him is official and continuous, present and accounted for as a permanent member of the Lord's entourage. We talked about this a week or so ago. Won't that be really something if indeed you're one of them, that you would be one of them? Here he's telling you that you certainly can be if you want to be. Nothing would please him more. So he says, you could walk with me, literally and continually, in whites. We have leukois. It's just that's how it's stated. Whites, in whites. So what he's talking about, and what these whites are, dress whites. Dress white uniforms that are used and worn with presentation, regalia and presentation. Maximum regalia and presentation. Highly decorated soldiers in spotless white uniforms with shiny shoes and polished swords marching in step with the commander-in-chief. Highly decorated soldiers are also commissioned to reign over nations, regions, and echelons. Wow! That's what he has for us. He said, that can't be for us. No, it is. You got to get a vision. Without one, you'll perish. Then he says, Hoti, because. Worthy are they. That means equal in weight. Made to be so by God. He made them that way, and they just believed him, that's all. And became what he said they were. All they did was be what he said they were. They just became, or he says, whatever I am says I am, that's what I am. And they just became and decided they were going to be what I am said they are. Equal in weight, made to be by God, never apart from him in any way, never having our own strength, ability, or righteousness, only having Christ in all these things, in all phases of this our salvation expedition. We're on an expedition. Quite an adventure, isn't it? It's just not easy, but it sure is fun. It sure is interesting. It's at least interesting. So next he says in verse 5, he who wins, overcomes, nikao, has his Nikes on, he's a winner. That's what Nike means. Nikao means to win or overcome. He who overcomes the trends of this era, and all these things, the deadness of this era of church history, will be dressed in white garments. He says it again. He just said, I'll present him in whites or white garments. Not only dress whites, which designates participation in the entourage of Jesus Christ, the elite honor guard, then he says, but never, no, never will I erase his name out from the book of life. Not only will I give you this great privilege and honor, but also I will never erase his name, your name, from the book of life, as I will those who never believe. And for this grace, one should be very grateful that your name would never be erased. He's not saying that he's going to erase your name. He said, I'll never erase your name. Remember, I'll never erase your name. You'll walk and dress right, white. And besides that, I'll never erase your name from the book of life. And then he says, and in addition, or also, I will confess his name in the presence, an opion, in the view of my Father. If that were not enough, I will further honor that one by personally and formally introducing by name and royal title each one who is a winner, is an overcomer, with heavenly pomp and circumstance, by name and royal title, a king and a lord coronated to rule, formerly presented, honored, acknowledged and appointed to ruling and reigning aristocracy. Won't that be something? I can't wait to see you that way. Some of you will. I hope you know. I told you without a vision the people perish. You better get a vision of that for yourself. Then he says, Kai, and not only in the presence of the Father, but in the presence of his angels, his highest ranking angels. The angels of high rank will attend the ceremony that honors Christ and his winners, who will rule and reign with him forever and judge angels. Paul says, what, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Can't you judge the simplest matters among believers? Dearly loved, richly blessed, highly favored, winners all, acknowledged as such by the Lord Jesus and the Father and the angelic host, from that time forward and forever. It will never end. It'll be a wonderful thing. In heaven, hope you know, no one fails to execute the tasks that are given. So if you're appointed to that, you'll never fail. There's no failure there. In this case, reigning, ruling, and radiating Christ. When these things dawn and become real, we will surely praise the Lord, even as David did. In 1 Chronicles 29:10, I just came across this verse, but it's wonderful. The expression of David's praise and glorious vision and understanding of the plan of God and the Lord's glorious person. So David, it says, 1 Chronicles 29:10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. He stood up in the sight of the assembly and said these things. He said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father. In case you wondered who Jesus is, he's the Lord God of Israel, our Father. Forever and ever, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. It's only Jesus that's in view. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given to you. We've given back to you. What we have, you gave us, so we give back to you what you've given to us. For we are sojourners. We're just visiting before you, and tenants, just renting space, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and apart from you there is no hope. That's absolutely so. I love that. 1 Chronicles 29:10. Now verse 6, back to our passage, verse 6. He says, he who has an ear, he means he or she, one, the one who has a hoe, here, definite article, nominative, masculine, singular, but it could be one. One who, or he who, he or she, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women, mothers and dads, brothers and sisters, grandma, grandpa, friends and neighbors. That's what he who means. He who has, the one who has, exo, an ear. Then we have the imperative, aorist imperative, active third person singular. Hear and heed, both. It's not just to hear the sound waves, but to hear and heed. Take it to heart. Listen up, literally. What it is that the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says. Not only what is said, but who is saying it. Who's saying it? The Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit whose testimony cannot be denied or ignored, and if it is, that infraction cannot be forgiven. In Matthew 12:31, I'll explain what I mean. Don't get too nervous. He says, Jesus said in Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the one to come. So in other words, if the Spirit says it, we must believe it. When the Spirit tells you something, you have to believe it. You say, well, I don't know if he told me anything or not. He tell you Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yeah, I believed it. And everything else he tells us from the Word of God, believe it. He's the author of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. Pneumatica. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be fully outfitted and mature for every divinely good work. If the Spirit says it, we believe it. This is a very weighty matter that will determine the eternal status, the wealth, the rank, and royalty. When aware that really means something, that is in the eternal state. Not to mention the devastation of life on earth as a result of rejecting or neglecting such things which ensure losses. And if that can be avoided, then by all means, we don't want to do that. Not only will our life on earth stink, but what's worse will be the withholding of blessings from our escrow account due to the lack of spiritual life function, spiritual capacity, righteousness. Though no one else will get what was slated for us, it's already laid up there. All of it is earmarked, which means it's been given for your listening and learning pleasure. It's earmarked. And monogrammed as your initials on it. Therefore, it belongs only to you. Because you did not hear, in case of those who don't, because you did not hear and heed what the Spirit says, you won't get it, you won't have it or enjoy the remarkable pleasures, privileges, and proximity that woulda, coulda, shoulda been yours. You can't have any of them, having never applied yourself to acquire and hone spiritual skills. That's what's required. It requires it of each and every one of us. Listening skills, learning skills, leaning skills, living and loving skills. Not because you couldn't. That's proven by the fact that you have at least one ear. It's because you wouldn't. Not because you couldn't, but because you wouldn't. I hope that's not the case for anybody here. Because you were too busy, or maybe too lazy. Or maybe you were looking for love in all the wrong places. Could be. And looking for fulfillment, searching for fulfillment deep within. As a believer, which only the Word of God can provide. You haven't discovered that yet. There is no happiness elsewhere. You've been limited to that superior happiness. There's still time. I'm going to tell you that. That's the good news. The good news is there's still time because you're still drawing breath. So he says, let the one who has an ear hear and heed. Here we have akouo, means to hear and heed. What the Spirit says, the Spirit speaking, we have to believe what he says, to the ecclesia, the churches. Only to the churches. Not to the cloisters, clutches, or clubs, where people get together outside of the church without official and ascension gifts in leadership roles and proclaiming the full counsel of God's Word. Only the churches, not to the cloisters, clutches, or clubs. In order to remove any and all excuses for not attending church services, that is, in this era and at Grace and Truth Church, it became very popular not to go to church. And people had an excuse for not going. It's that coronavirus. I ain't going to church. Church services should never have stopped. I wish I would never have stopped them, even for a short period of time. And at that, even at that time, if necessary, they should have been held outdoors. It was warm. We had a very warm summer. And with very little rain, you could have had them all outside, but nobody did it. I'm going to take a vote this morning. And based upon the outcome, we'll implement immediately further safety measures here so that those who stopped attending church don't have any excuse. As of today, therefore, everyone who enters the building while remaining inside must wear a face mask covering mouth and nose. In addition, we will also, I didn't talk to Brad about this, electrostatically sanitize the entire building for a second time. Nothing's restricting us from getting together and meeting together the full assembly. And we will relax our requirements. Now, this is the good part. Listen to this. We'll relax our requirements when we see whether or not you attend. That is those who don't. Whether or not you choose to join us. The fact is, we miss you. And we need your portion in order to be complete. Please return. You'll be just fine. Nobody's gotten the virus so far, I don't think. In closing, even as we opened today, I would ask you to close your eyes just for a few moments and concentrate on the glorious person of Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls, the friend that stays closer than a brother, our Savior, who we need desperately in times like these, at all times in human history, at times like these, who is the celebrity of the church and the only role model of genuine spirituality, the life of the church, and the one of whom we have that vision, and we're well and alive, awaiting his return. I'm going to read a solemn portion that is a prayer. We did it when we opened. We're going to do it as we close. For ultimate attainment and knowing what can't be known except by divine revelation, the love of Christ that he has done and all that he has done, so much, more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, all that he's done and given us. In Ephesians, once again, 3, for this reason, just close your eyes and just let this flood your soul. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. God is our Father, Jesus is our brother, and the blessed Holy Spirit is our guide. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glorious, of his glory, and they are plousios, abundant, to be strengthened with power, his power, through the Spirit in the inward man, the person you are on the inside, the new creation that you are on the inside, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, your soul stream of consciousness, where you choose and decide, where you think your best thoughts, and where you appeal to God from a pure conscience. Through faith, that is in the person of Jesus Christ and in the word of Christ. It's the mind of the thinking of Christ. And that you being rooted and grounded in love, immovable, because that love has stabilized you and you know it for sure. There's no question about it. And grounded in love may be able to comprehend, understand what can't be understood otherwise with all the saints, set apart ones, that have the Holy Spirit of God. That is, what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth? That is the extent to which God was willing to go. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses man's ability to know, perceive, or understand. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want that, don't you? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. I don't think we've asked for enough and do not have because we have not asked. And we need to have our coast enlarged and our minds expanded according to the power that works within us. It's him. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How wide is the ocean? Wider still, the love of Christ. How long is the span of time and how vast the eons? Longer still, the love of Christ. How high are the heavens? Higher still, the love of Christ. How deep are the canyons, caverns, and trenches of earth? Deeper still, the love of Christ, infinite, endless, and eternal, the dimensions of his boundless love. As far as heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, so much farther, so much wider, so much larger, so much longer, much more grand and glorious than one can imagine, the love of Christ that surpasses human understanding. And we're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. There are many things today that can be taken personally and privately and implemented and applied in life, in love, in our relationship with Jesus Christ and one another as we're still studying the mystery. All these things are very mysterious and are things that we need to consider and to implement in our own lives. The wonderful life that you've given us, the superior life of Jesus, that which was bequeathed to each one of us, and the very life of Jesus that is in us and that longs to be expressed, to reflect his perfection, the fullness of the Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you promised to help us and to carry us about and to invest everything in us from the Word and by your power, your wisdom, your joy, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and the rest. We thank you for all these things. If I could have my ushers, please. Father, bless the offering today. Also, in Jesus' precious name, and thank you for all those who came out this morning. And Father, may it have been proved to be a blessed and valuable time. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we could all stand.